Hi, everyone, and welcome to On The Box, your weekly dose of television news and discussions brought to you by the Geek Show Podcast Network and the reprobates that populate this podcast.
Hiya.
I actually managed to say populate this podcast without actually stumbling over my words. Yeah. My old man brain seems to be fixed.
That was impressive.
Yes. I can do words, me.
That was just that you've broken down to the point that now you're just completely imagining entire conversations.
Okay.
Now you look combobulated, Rob.
Combobulated?
Combobulated.
I'm combobulated. Hang on. If combobulated is the opposite of discombobulated, does that mean I'm looking rational and logical?
For once, yes.
I can't get past.
I think Andrew managed to discombobulate himself with his attempt at wordage.
I can't go past this without mentioning Voltcourt and Blackadder, and to the point where you've just entered so utterly discombobulation.
Oh, Andy.
You can't know, Andy. Can you?
You can tell Andy has spent all day at university.
Because he's using the big words.
Yes, and he's using the big words, but in a very tired way.
Yep.
I try to make the word count for that dissertation, you know. Even though the longer the word doesn't actually change the word count.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, as you've heard, joining us today are myself, Rob, and over there with the words in Dictionary Corner is Andy.
Yeah, but I'm trying to keep in the spirit of one of our lead stories later on.
And also I'm here.
Yes.
Yes. And me. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Owen as well.
Oh, thank you, well. Andrew.
So, hang on. I've just realised if we go with the countdown reference, I'd be like What's-His-Face who hosts. So you'd be Susie Dent. You'd be,
Rachel Riley.
And you'd be the guest in Dictionary Corner.
Yay.
Because you two are sitting together.
The hottest person here, so yeah, I can go with that.
I thought you might like that analogy. Right, okay. Without further ado, shall we get into this? Who's starting us off? I believe Owen is starting us off.
I am. Quite interesting. Otherwise, not commonly known as QI, a show which I think, we all here are fully aware of.
Nope, I don't know what you're talking about. What is this QI thing?
Well, it is a very interesting show.
Is it quite interesting?
It is actually quite interesting.
I didn't realise there's quite an interesting show on TV. Yeah. Did you know about this, Andrew?
First I've heard of it.
Andy, have you heard of this quite interesting show that's on TV?
Wait, isn't that fantasy series about a group of people being helped out by elves?
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, I believe that's the one. There's lots of elves involved in QI.
There is the QI elves, yes.
Yes. Do they look like elves? Did they wear green tights and run around the forest?
We never see the elves. We only hear of the elves.
You never saw this elf labour workshop they had backstage?
No.
Slave labour. Collars and chains going. They're all just going, digging a hole, digging a hole.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure I had a story to this.
They fire arrows of information at people.
Yes.
I suddenly know what the capital of Peru is. Also, I'm bleeding internally.
Anyway, Owen.
Yes, I can continue with the story now.
Yes.
Excellent. Now, the show's veteran host, Stephen Fry, is stepping down.
Yes, he is a veteran.
Yes, veteran of many different things, including...
Grindr. Yeah.
I was going to say Blackadder, but if that's what the route you want to go down, then that's your...
No, he admitted to having Grindr on his phone on Top Gear.
Yes, he did.
He actually showed Jeremy Clarkson.
Yes, he did.
So I was just thinking of nice, lovely references about him being a veteran of the Great Elf Wars.
No, you got to remember, he's like Santa with reindeer.
What, he is the one who enslaved the elves in the first place.
Yes. Anyway... Blackadder, V Vendetta, The Hobbit, and QI, things we know Stephen Fry from.
Hang on, the Blackadder, the what?
V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta?
Yeah.
He was in that.
Oh, yeah, he was in that. But no, we don't know him for V for Vendetta more than we know him for Blackadder.
Blackadder, yeah, of course. He is
most Fry and Laurie.
Yeah, I was going to say. You forgot the obvious one.
literally has his name.
What was it? Wushen Jeeves?
Jeeves and Wooster.
Jeeves and Wooster, yes.
The one that came after a bit of Fry and Laurie.
Yep.
The one which has his name in.
Yep. I'm annoyed I forgot about that. Anyway, Stephen Fry is stepping down as host of QI after Series M. So, of course, each series is given a different letter.
That's where it is in the...
Yes.
Series.
Our last one was K. No, last one would have been L. Now yes. I have M.
After series M. So is the last episode in M going to be missing? And there's just going to be a chair at the front with a question mark in it.
Yes. It is unfortunate.
And then BBC will just put posters up saying, have you seen this man?
Yeah, it is unfortunate.
Wanted, alive.
Preferably, yes. It is unfortunate, this thing, because you know he was an important part of the show. Alan Davis will be remaining. And they have pretty much confirmed their new host to be Sandy Toksvig.
Which is a good choice to replace him.
It is a good choice. I'm not a huge fan of her, but I think it'll still be okay.
She
did 15 to 1.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
They've swapped.
Yeah, I think Sandy Toksvig is a good choice to replace Stephen Fry. I think of all the people who've been on QI, she is probably the person closest to Stephen Fry in terms of their presence, the atmosphere.
They always have like some really great.
You need someone smart,
you need someone smart, but you need someone who's also quite urbane and quite quite
witty.
Sounds quite posh.
Yeah,
Frank Lampard.
We are not going down that route again.
No.
Shame on you. I want him to be retested.
But yeah, Series M will be starting today, October 16th. So that'll be on tonight. Huh? The series is going to include a few different hosts, including Dermot O'Leary and Jeremy Clarkson.
Different hosts?
No, different guests even.
Okay, Clarkson, we know he's going to be on QI at some point anyway. Yeah. That's kind of a given thing. Dermot O'Leary, I think he's probably a new edition.
Yeah, I don't remember him being on before.
Be interesting if they could get Trevor Noah back on now that he's doing The Daily Show.
Yeah, that would be really good. I don't think that's going to happen.
So, yeah, that would be interesting.
If The Daily Show doesn't work out, he would actually be like a pretty good replacement host for Andy Toksvig.
Yes, yes, he would.
See, the series will include guests Dermot O'Leary, Sarah Cox, Matt Lucas, Jeremy, of course, Sue Perkins, and Noel Fielding.
Well, Sue Perkins is a regular on QI.
Yeah.
Noel Fielding's a new one, but then again, he needs something to do now that Buzzcocks is finished.
He's just spent like the past year just sitting at home going through quiz show withdrawal.
I think he's done it.
Hiding under the table. Apparently, under tables are comfortable.
Yes, apparently so. But yeah, it's unfortunately leaving. But
what's he going to be doing now?
That's a good question. That's a good question because. You know, even while he's been doing QI, he's still done other stuff as well. He's had plenty of documentary series out. Like I said before, he was in The Hobbit 2 and 3, although they were small roles. Well, it was a small role. So,
what would literally come out of left field is if him and Hugh Laurie got back together.
Yes.
For more Fry and Laurie.
You never know, that might be why.
Or Fry and Laurie, the later years.
Oh, don't you taunt me with these kind of ideas, Rob.
Just basically Stephen Fry being Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie as House.
You see Stephen Fry.
Just have the two of them sitting outside a pub commenting on people.
You just have Stephen Fry guesting on House or something, won't you?
If it was still going, yes. Yeah.
That would work. There's a TV show in that. Hugh Laurie as House and Stephen Fry as himself sitting together outside a pub commenting on people.
Oh, that would be funny.
It would be like Gogglebox in reverse.
Yeah.
But with people who actually, you know, can make sentences.
That's actually a whole different show. It's like you can have one TV celebrity just as themselves, but then someone else actually playing the role they're famous for.
Or maybe we should do like a meta Gogglebox type thing, so we have people who are watching Gogglebox.
Yes. It's famous people watching normal people watching famous people.
Yes.
It's like a TV sandwich.
Wow.
I'm not over that sandwich yet.
That's so strange. It could actually work.
Yes. There you go, BBC. You can hit back at Channel 4 now. Instead of just angrily shaking your fist at them going, you pesky kids with your backwards hats.
If you copyright that idea now, we'll get...
What, the pesky kids with the backwards hats?
No, the TV
sandwich.
The
fist shaking?
The ultra goggle box idea.
Ah, right, the meta goggle box, yeah.
Get
meta
goggle box. So if they want that, they got to give us a slice.
Of goggle box? Never. Can we not just have cake? Sandwich
yes.
is good.
Yes, cake. Yes. You can have a slice of cake, Rob.
Have you noticed how cake, right, can solve pretty much all the problems in the world? Because if you give someone cake, you're pretty much guaranteed that they will be happy to receive cake.
That's true.
You know, if more, you know, when they do like war negotiations and stuff like that to prevent war, if everybody came in with cake and gave each other cake, immediately you're starting off on positive footing. Immediately negotiations are going to be easier. Am I wrong on this?
Who doesn't like cake?
Exactly.
Ooh, well, what if all the world leaders like diabetic?
More you can cake, get huh? sugarless cakes.
Yeah, but then he's that one guy who has to have the sugarless cake.
How can you have a sugarless cake, though? It's like...
Alan, sugar?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, I tried to stop it, but it's in my head now.
I knew it.
No more of the sweet stuff for you,
finally
then.
Got me back. Alan Sugar bursting out of a cake is now trapped in my mind.
Oh, why have you got to do that?
And he's singing, "Happy Birthday, Mr. President."
The president going, "I wanted sugar-free
success.
Cake.
Success. I win."
The president just going, "I wanted sugar-free cake."
That's what you get for calling me an old man. I waited all day for that.
But the truth is, doesn't it?
Like you're going to be Alan Sugar jumping out of a cake.
I think we broke Andy.
I'm going to need time to kind of get that image out of my head.
I mean, no, Alan Sugar, don't put the cake on your finger.
Oh,
don't shove it in your mouth like that.
Stop now, please. Stop. Please, I'm begging you. No more. Make it stop.
It'll put a spin on if it was on Great British Bake Off, wouldn't it?
Can you imagine Mel and Sue, the reaction to it? Oh, the look on Mary Berry's face when he comes out of the cake.
She goes, "It's quite a soggy bottom you've got there."
Oh, no.
Oh, when will this nightmare stop?
So Sandy talks for me.
Yes. I think that story is now dead and buried, and I don't think it should ever be resurrected.
So, yes. Anyway, moving on. Who's got the next story? I believe let's go around this way. Actually, no, let's go around this way because I've got two
stories. Wait, which way are we going?
They go this way. I'll go next.
Oh, this way as opposed to that way?
This way.
All right.
So, yes. Anyway, moving on. Donald Glover from Community, also known as Childish Gambino. He was recently in the Martian movie. He put forward an idea for a TV series, a hip-hop comedy called Atlanta. Now, normally I wouldn't pay attention to this because I don't really like Donald Glover. He was fine in Community, but, you know, he's just kind of, I watched him in the Martian. It was like he was playing Abed from Community. And
which part was he again? Was he the scientist that came up with the maneuver for?
Yes, it was him. It's all about the math.
Yes,
I don't want any praise. It's all about the math.
Yes, that's yes.
Listen, this is in the Martian now in Community.
Yes, this is in the Martian. Anyway, Atlanta has been picked up by FX. They want 10 episodes to air in 2016. Glover is going to be starring in that series, and also takes on the role of executive producer. Alongside Paul Sims from Flight of the Conchords, which is why I'm interested in this now.
Okay, that's fair enough reason.
If it was just Donald Glover being executive producer, I'd be like, yeah, this is pretty much an ego project. But as soon as I saw there's a member of Flight of the Conchords involved as executive producer as well, or as producer, I'm like, yeah, this then becomes a potential. It then gains a degree of potential, which makes me interested because I do like hip-hop. More so than I did before, thanks to my acquaintance with Rob from Cinema Eclectica, who introduced me to proper hip-hop and not gangster rap.
Yes, Rob, who is the most street member of our crew.
Yes, he is. He is the most street member, which is why he will never be Doctor Who. No,
you
James
kill
Bond.
That dream,
James
don't
Bond. No, which is why, according to Anthony Horowitz, he will never be James Bond.
Because he's too urban.
He's too street, yes.
You got to kill that dream, haven't you?
So, yes, that is due to be broadcast in 2016. So be interesting to see how that is going to work out, because not much is known about Atlanta, except that it's going to follow two cousins who make their way up the rap scene in the South.
There's a rap scene in the South?
Apparently so, yes. Alabama rap.
Oh, God.
Word to your Bible mouth.
Yes. Gerald McBoing Boing. You guys don't know that, do you?
Unfortunately, we're too young to.
Is a boy who all you can do is make noises.
There's the bouncy.
Does the spring noises and stuff like that, yes. Anyway, moving on to.
Me! Yes, In the Flesh. Do we all remember In the Flesh?
Is that zombie one, isn't
it? Yes, the kind of zombie drama from BBC Three.
But I like the way they did the zombies in
yeah,
the Flesh.
Yeah, well, they're actually still fully conscious.
Yeah.
They're just sort of undead.
Yeah. I like the way they approached it. They didn't go down the whole kind of Walking Dead route. I mean, there were elements of Walking Dead in there from time to time.
Well, there were dead people who were walking.
Yes.
They
raw flesh sometimes, didn't they?
Yes, because I know, like, they started off just as, like, your typical rabid zombies.
Yeah.
But then by the time the series had rolled around, they'd found a cure that kind of restored their humanity.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of having to live with the fact that you've died and come back to life.
Yeah.
So it's like with their warm bodies, isn't it?
Not quite. I mean, In the Flesh was a hell of a lot more dramatic than Warm Bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, it tried to address what happens after you've basically lost somebody, you've grieved for them, and then all of a sudden they're there in front of you again.
Yeah. All right.
And you were there. You put them in the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a... It's not easy experience to get past.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, but so it is. So, yeah, after two series, it got cancelled. But now the creator, Dominic Mitchell, wants to bring it back as a film. Specifically, he sent out a tweet saying that he's calculated the budget for what a standalone film would need. Apparently, it would be like £1 million.
Really?
Which, which, as he says, is not beyond the realms of possibility.
No, yeah. I mean, throw that away.
Did it have the following to get a £1 million budget? And the second question would be, is £1 million going to be enough? Is he underestimating the cost of making it?
Well, I suppose...
Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, imagine you don't need a massive budget.
You won't need a massive budget, and the
it was never, like, that reliant on special effects. It's more just, like, makeup on the zombie actors.
Yeah.
And if you could, I'd think if, with the different spin that it's got on it, it'll be more on the psychological factor rather than all this explosions and things like Walking Dead and Resident Evil even have.
Yeah.
Things like that.
I mean, we're already at a point where you got people in series already earning like something like $1 million per show. If he thinks he could do a full series just for $1 million, then...
Hang on. $1 million per show?
I've read...
Who's getting £1 million per show?
Wasn't there a time where that was the Friends? Were they each receiving $1 million a series? So I thought...
Not per episode. I was going to say, for the entire series, yeah, okay. But $1 million for an episode of Friends? I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, that'd be like an entire country's GDP per series.
Yes.
There's a big difference from something like Friends, half an hour episode from like comedy, than something like Game of Thrones or something, which could potentially be quite epic if they used £1 million.
Yes. Although,
it'd be quite epic, but also very short.
Yes. Two episodes in, and it's finished.
Oh, we've run out.
We've got to fit it all into these two episodes. Just some guy at the front just reading out a synopsis of things, and then you just have people on screen going like that, you know, a still frame, and then you just got, you know, like they do, like the old black and white movies, where they used to speed up the camera.
Yes.
And you have somebody with a piano going ding, 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 ding.
And then just like intercut screens of like just text saying what's going on.
Yes. The ice zombies from the other side of the wall, just picture of Jon Snow going, and the words go on going, oh no! So, yes. And then on the screen, after he meets, the red-headed woman, saying, you know nothing, Jon Snow, and then goes on to the next bit. This just in, apparently the Friends stars were getting $1 million an episode.
Well, no wonder the economy crash.
I'm not sure what to say to that.
Yeah, but it's only 600 grand in our country. Isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but 600... is... Oh, that was a great thing you said, and also quite a hurtful thing for the Americans.
Charlie Sheen.
Your money is not as good as our money.
Charlie Sheen, though, when he was on Two and a Half Men, did earn $1.8 million per episode.
What?
How is there that much money?
Yeah, but that's only just over 900 grand in our money, isn't it?
$1.8 million? No, that's over a million.
That's over £1 million an episode.
Yeah. You think of $1.6 per pound? So
just
that's
half it and add a bit. That's all.
It's a bit more than
when
that.
When did we stop being on the box and become the accountancy show?
Well, since it turned out that clearly no one else knows what to do with money. Just threw all of it at Charlie Sheen.
No, they didn't. They also threw some of it at Dave Schwimmer, Matthew Perry, Matt LeBlanc, Jennifer Aniston, Lisa Kudrow, and what was the other
Courtney
one?
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox Arquette, yeah. Oh, and then they also took out a portion of it to throw at Tom Selleck.
But why? Why do these people need this much money? I mean, maybe Charlie Sheen, I can maybe almost understand since he needs to keep himself in tiger blood. But what do the fence stars? They don't drive like diamond-encrusted Ferraris.
It's that celebrity lifestyle, don't you know? You know, they're always in the tabloids and everything.
Have you seen Matthew Perry? He is clearly not a man who lives the celebrity lifestyle.
I know.
Matt LeBlanc does episodes now. I'm sorry, but why?
Yeah, but that
was that because he ran out of money?
That was actually must successful, have been. Though. That's weird.
It's a weirdly successful show, but... Basically, Matt LeBlanc playing a sort of
He only got two episodes by way of Joey. Okay,
that's true.
Friends stars, right? Courtney Cox went on to be in Scream and a couple of other movies. Jennifer Aniston went on to be in several movies.
Well, Matthew Perry went on to be Jennifer Aniston.
No, yeah, Matthew Perry went on to star alongside Bruce Willis and Zac Efron. Zac Efron?
He was in the film. Zac Efron kind of played his young self.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about that. I was saying Bruce Willis in The Whole Nine Yards, which is a much better movie than the Zac Efron effort.
That's fair enough. That's
but yeah.
Courtney Cox did Scream while she was doing Friends.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying they also did that as well, right? Joey Tribbiani did Lost in Space, which nobody wants to remember.
And then went on to do Joey. Yeah.
So do you think maybe what happened was like, after Friends, and he found out he was doing Joey, it was like, oh, Joey's going to be so successful, I'm just going to burn all my money.
Yes.
Because I'm clearly going to earn, like, double that much doing Joey. And that's why he has two episodes now.
You have the Frasier effect. Like, the Frasier effect.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but NCIS did it better. Well, they started from drag, and then the...
I know where they started from. I watch NCIS, you know.
All I'm
saying is, Frasier...
I know it's
completely different type of show.
That's true.
You can't really compare the two.
Yeah, NCIS. I don't think I've ever seen Gibbs eat a single plate of tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Yes. No, or hors d'oeuvres. I've never seen Gibbs go to a black tie dinner or want to listen to classical music. Or opera.
Donozo, though, I can see maybe he's been at the hors d'oeuvres a bit.
He has lately. Have you seen him? He's piled on the poundage, hasn't he?
Yeah, it looks like he's just kind of melted.
No. Do you know what's happened? It's this osmosis. It's this weird osmosis. It's all gone from...
From McGee.
From McGee's to Donozo. Because if you remember what McGee was like...
Yeah,
when he
used to be like the chubby one.
I've got a quick question back to like what the Friends went up from, right? Lisa Kudrow, she did The Comeback and a couple of the films. What has David Schwimmer been doing?
Dave Schwimmer's done some movies as well.
Yeah, it was like The Giraffe in Madagascar.
Needs something new.
Yes, he directs
there
films.
There we go.
But yeah, Lisa Kudrow doesn't actually need to act. She doesn't need to act.
In Friends, really.
No, she doesn't actually need to act. And yes, I know she didn't really act in Friends. But the thing is, she doesn't actually need to act because she's full-blown, like, she's a full-blown really good scientist. Mm.
Scientist, like she had millions per episode just for funsies.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like what's her face from Big Bang Theory?
Mayim
Bialik.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was Blossom on TV. And Blossom was a popular sitcom.
Yep.
And then she went out and she became a neurobiologist, neuroscientist type person, and actually has like an actual degree, master's, and I think she's a doctor in it, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, and she's got all that under her belt, and now she's back on a sitcom, the most popular sitcom in the world.
Where the actors still earn and, over a million an episode.
No, and she's also playing a role that she's perfectly suited to.
Yeah.
Because her character is a neurobiologist,
yeah.
which she is in real life.
I mean, wasn't that she was going to...
See, now I kind of want like a TV show of just her and Lisa Kudrow, like science buddies.
Like, oh, like that...
I'd love to see that.
Like, it's like that terrible film she did, High School Reunion or something.
Who?
Lisa Kudrow did a film with...
Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion. Yes. Yeah, I know. Where they both tried going around telling all the high school buddies that they invented post-it notes.
Yeah, whereas now being scientists.
Yes.
So, but wasn't Manny originally going to consult on the show? Then it was decided it was just as well having her as the actress.
Well, yes, she was originally just going to be consulted, and basically the conversation went something along the lines of, we need somebody who can act like a someone who knows about neurobiology but can also act. And she stood there and basically went, somebody who understands comic timing, somebody who's female.
Well, that's quite manly of her.
Yes, I know. She also has a full head of facial hair.
She shaves every day.
She has a full head of facial hair.
He didn't even notice.
Oh,
it didn't even notice.
No, I didn't. And I've had a bit of an off day today.
See, old man brain is now in his head, just like the lawnmower man.
I blame
rugby. Have you done McGee osmosis with your brain and just shoved it into Owen?
Yes.
I blame rugby. I did that rugby thing.
Rugby. You're taking my advice now. Yeah. Blame it all on rugby. Yeah. Anyway, shall we move on? To you, Andy.
Yes. As if it couldn't get any more...
Stranger.
Yes. The host of Saturday Night Live on the 7th of November... Is Donald Trump.
Is he just a is he a masochist? Does he actually thrive on just on self-flagellation kind of thing?
The thing is, though, he got the sack from his apprentice role.
Yeah.
And rightly
then,
so.
And then what?
Declared
it
himself. He got the sack from his apprentice role, declared himself to become a candidate for the presidency. I don't understand how this works. You have to declare yourself to be a candidate to stand for. Being a candidate for the presidency.
You can't just let anybody run for president, though, can you?
It doesn't make sense, though. You know,
I want to be president. I'll run.
Why not?
To be fair, couldn't Boris Johnson throw in his candidacy for American president?
Yes, he could. Yes, he could. I mean, he's tackling the Eastern problem. Quite literally.
That was a good one.
Anyway, yeah, Donald Trump, has he tackled any 5-year-old boys lately? That sounds wrong. No,
not that we know of.
So yeah, he's going to be the host on Saturday Night Live
on the 7th of November.
So I just view Donald Trump as like the American version of Boris Johnson, even though, Boris Johnson is the British Donald Trump.
You're doing this attempt.
They do look really similar.
Possibility, although very extremely impossibly unlikely, that you could get the president being Donald Trump and the prime minister being Boris Johnson, and then they'll be stood next to each other.
No,
God, no.
No one wants to consider that world.
No, it's okay, because if they stand next to each other, it will just create a singularity, and they'll both be sucked into it and will be free.
No. What will happen is their hair will communicate with each other, and then the world is doomed. We cannot let their hair meet each other because they are secretly controlled by their hair. It's true. I didn't dream this.
No.
It's not really hair that Donald Trump's got. It's a gerbil, isn't it?
I reckon we discussed this before. We agreed it's like Snake's hair from that Simpsons episode. It's controlling him. And eventually, all it will be is a skeleton of Donald Trump with hair. Full flowing And
he will fight Barack Obama for the presidency in Hair Monster versus Lizard Person, a new sci-fi original movie.
No, he will do that for the favour of Blonde Hair Person, the British Blonde Hair Person, who will be like the princess in the tower. Also known as Boris.
Boris, let Boris. Down your hair.
Yes.
I wasn't going to do that.
I think we have an episode title.
This is all completely pop. Basically,
we keep on getting
if Donald Trump
titles,
is going to host Saturday Night Live, literally everything I've just said is completely plausible.
Exactly.
Unfortunately so. Oh, God, it's a disastrous world we live in. I do apologise.
That's just a very bad image when you said that for Boris Johnson. You've got Boris Johnson on the top of the tower with hair dangling and then Donald Trump climbing up.
Oh, please say Boris is laying it down by actually doing his thing.
Donald Trump wading through the snow. There's no snow anywhere else, just around the tower. My Lady Boris, we must take you to the lake of Head and Shoulders.
Anyway, is that for that?
Wait. I think it's that. Yeah.
Whoever lifts the golden bottle of Redox shall claim that. What is it? L'Oreal, because they are worth it.
Yes. Seek the holy L'Oreal.
Yes. Okay, now I'm done.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway, yes. So he's going to be hosting Saturday Night Live. And he's really going to let himself in for some serious ribbage.
He let himself go then.
Hey?
I thought he said let himself go then.
He let himself go a long time ago. Have you seen him?
Right, we need to move on, I think.
Yes, I think we do need to move on. On a slightly more serious note, Children in Need is coming soon, and they have actually announced the lineup for Children in Need. They've actually announced the lineup for Children in Need. And we are going to say goodbye to Owen.
Yes, unfortunately.
Goodbye, Owen.
Yes, I will bid you all farewell.
Anyway, yes, they've announced the lineup for BBC's Children in Need. It's going to be hosted by Terry Wogan. Yes. So it's already looking up. Tess Daly, Fern Cotton, it's looking down. Rochelle Humes and Nick Grimshaw.
Oh.
Yeah, it was started off so well as well.
Unfortunately, I think they collectively negate the Terry Wogan.
Yeah. And Children in Need is going to be on Friday, November the 13th, starting at 7:30. They have a series of things going on that evening. The stars of Call the Midwife, Jenny Agutter, Laura Main, Stephen McGann, and Jack Ashton will all strut their funky chickens for charity, fighting to win the Pudsey Glitter Ball Trophy in a Celebrity Strictly Come Dancing special hosted by Sir Bruce Forsyth. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere, there is a host of musical talent on offer too, with Years and Years, Rod Stewart, Selena Gomez, all due to perform on the night. Shane Fillon and Nadine Coyle will also perform their duet I Could Be. Harry Hill is going to do a one-off comedy special, and there's going to be performances from the West End cast of Beautiful, Kinky Boots, and Bend It Like a Beckham. There will also be a musical EastEnders special too, with the Queen Vic welcoming a house band and a star lead vocalist. But if they were going to do a musical EastEnders special, I would expect the cast to be singing, just like the musical episodes from Scrubs.
Do you really want to see Danny Dyer singing, though?
Come on,
Rob, I can barely act, never mind sing.
He'll be wandering around going, apples and pears, get your apples and pears down the stairs. Because it's not Cockney rhyming slang, I'm trying to sell apples and pears.
Except that, but also with like 50 times more swearing.
Yes. The One Show's Matt Baker and Alex Jones will also star in a special version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show as well. So, yeah.
Wasn't the one from One Foot in the Grave, Victor Meldrew, supposed to be coming back?
I think so.
This year is
actually 25 years of Children in Need, and the reason why they called Sir Terry Wogan back in, and that would explain why he's been going around the country eating food with that cab driver.
I just assume that's what Terry Wogan does. Like,
but yeah, the reason why they called him back is obviously because it's 25 years of Children in Need, so he presented the first one, so it's only natural.
I like the Children in Need specials, you know.
Yes. Owen has been replaced. He's tagged out and tagged in. Rob.
Hello. Going back to that thing. Turn the mic on. That'd be smart. Going back to that thing about Danny Dyer. Wouldn't you just, what Rob was saying there, you know, apples and pears. I just pictured him like breaking out into like sort of freestyle rap. It'd be the most horrible but amazing thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I want it to happen.
Okay, if that actually happens and children need, I will donate like all of my money.
Yes. So you heard it here, Danny Dyer. You do that. You saw it.
Yeah, Danny Dyer freestyle rap. So, yes. Anyway, we are going to take a very quick bake. very quick bake. I'm still on cake.
Alan Sugar's not in the cake. Right.
We're going to take a very quick break for this message and we'll be back in a moment.
Hello. Do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well-staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week and do it reasonably well.
Welcome back to On The Box. A very, very eventful first half there.
Yes.
I say first half.
Using the term news very loosely.
It is news.
We always do. We always do.
There was some news, and then there was Alan Partridge cake. Alan Partridge.
Alan Sugar.
Different part.
Sugarless cakes.
I love Alan Partridge. Wouldn't be a bad idea. I could see him actually doing that.
Well, Alan Partridge will be in a pear tree.
Along with monkey tennis. And what was that thing that he actually became a thing?
It was monkey tennis, wasn't
no,
it?
The
shepherding.
Oh, yes.
Rock stars.
Chris Eubank. Youth hustling with Chris Eubank.
Became an actual thing.
Yes.
Briefly.
Yes.
And the world was a magnificent moment for that point. Classy as well.
Right. Okay. We are into what have we been watching. So, guys, what have you been watching?
I've been watching Homeland.
This is the show that's been accused of horrible racism in the last couple of days, isn't it?
I feel like they're kind of overreacting a bit.
Mm. Don't they always? Was it the 1 million mums again?
I don't know, probably some organisation like that. I mean, I think it's maybe a little bit, but like in the kind of 80s action film, Russians are terrorists type way. It's not so much to say like, yes, this is what all Muslim nations are really like, but it's like, these are our bad guys. They're going to do bad things because they are the bad guys. And, like, to be fair, there kind of is quite a bit of conflict in the Muslim world.
Yeah, but, you know, it's one of those things. It's a bit like Scotland.
Which is also torn apart by religious differences.
Well, not quite. It's just, you know, Scottish people tend to keep warm by fighting each other when they can't fight the English.
But Homeland,
am I thinking of like 400 years ago?
Are we trying to offend even more people?
Homeland.
No, I'm just stuck at a different point in time.
But yeah, Homeland, so this is the fifth series now, I think. But it's kind of interesting because like kind of for the past two series, they sort of reinvented itself a little bit.
Yes.
Kind of, they got rid of one of the main characters and have now just been kind of going for more series by series plots, which I think has definitely been working in its favour because it keeps things a lot tighter.
Yeah.
Except for the end of last series. Basically, like, last series was incredible for, like, the majority of it. And then, like, they realised about halfway through the last episode, oh, no, we've ran out of plot. And, like, literally the end of last series was basically them sitting around waiting for the episode to end.
Seriously?
Pretty much. Like, I think Carrie, instead of doing some, like, stopping terrorists or something, finds out she has a half-brother. Like, just drives to her and says, yep, you're my half-brother. Okay, we're done. Episode over. That's the series, guys.
Have they managed to sort of keep it up after the Damian Lewis left?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because I think, basically, a lot of the problems they had in, like, series 2 and 3 was trying to spin that Damian Lewis plot out even more. Even though he didn't really have anything to do once they'd like dealt with his primary plot. So now like they can just be rid of him and instead like just concentrate on new threats.
Okay. Yeah. It makes it a lot more flexible. It means that they can adapt their approach depending on and they can reflect the global situation a bit more accurately.
Because that's what I was gonna, this series has actually been really topical.
Yeah.
Because like there's a bunch of stuff in there about them trying to stop ISIS.
Yeah.
And having to deal with information leaks, which obviously are kind of like two of the hottest topics around the information services at the moment.
Yes. Isn't it ironic? You deal in information, you steal information from everywhere else, but when someone takes it from you, you spit your dummy out.
Mm-hmm. It relates it back to the sort of similar programs of about 10 years ago. It did a lot of similar stuff with the Taliban.
Yeah.
It's just very, the next cycle in that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's definitely very true.
I think that's one of the things that I always found a bit odd about Homeland, though, because they had, like, Damian Lewis as
he's a star, isn't he? He was, anyway.
The character that he was playing, though, he'd basically been converted, hadn't he, right at the beginning?
Yes, although a lot of it was, like, trying to work out whether he had or hadn't been.
Yeah.
Obviously, spoiler alert, yes, he had been.
Yes.
Because obviously, a plot of they think this guy's a terrorist, but actually he's not and everything is fine doesn't really sell.
Exactly. That whole bit reminded me of the story arc from, I think, season 8 of NCIS as well, but not so much from the convert thing. That that's Harper Deering character, who was basically a self-made millionaire, kind of the American dream, and his son was in the Navy but died in an accident. And he tried warning the Navy that this was an accident waiting to happen. So he went from being a multimillionaire to becoming a homegrown terrorist out for revenge against the Navy.
Which kind of relates it back again to the Cold War era.
Yeah.
It's very referential.
Yeah, it is. It's a very Cold War idea, this kind of idea that someone can come back and seem like they're this perfect American guy, but actually they're secretly a double agent.
Yeah, I liked Harper Deering's storyline a little better because it wasn't influenced by any global politics or anything like that. He was simply out for revenge because he didn't see why his son had to die because the Navy had neglected to take proper safety measures.
Yeah, but I feel, I know you like your NCIS, but I feel like that was more of the show trying to be like, oh no, we can't possibly criticize like American government policy. Because America Freedom Bird flag tears.
It felt more like they were. For that story arc, it felt like they were actually criticizing American policies, not so much over in the Middle East, but American policies towards their own soldiers.
It wasn't very
military.
Critical, though, was it?
Well,
yeah, like certainly not in the way that Homeland,
not in the way that
can, like,
Homeland
absolutely
is.
Absolutely rip apart the CIA.
Not in the way. It's nowhere near the level of criticism that Homeland basically brings to bear.
He says, could have done a better job, really, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's what annoys me about all these claims about Homeland being racist.
Yeah.
It's like you're ignoring the fact that, like, the whole point of the show is to show how deeply flawed the American, like, secret intelligence service is.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, it's racist against itself.
Yep.
It's basically like the Rob of TV shows.
Yes.
Which Rob?
That Rob. White Rob.
This Rob.
Right.
Not you, Rob. Hello, you Rob too.
yes, anyway.
Rob, you on to Flash, is it?
Ooh, is it me now?
Yes, it's you now.
Well, I've been watching something which I love watching every year, and that's The Apprentice.
What season is this? Is it six?
11.
11? Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Which Apprentice are you talking about?
The UK version.
The UK version.
With Alan Sugar.
In a
no
cake.
Although that'll be a good task.
But bake a cake big enough to fit me.
Anyway, this one, it's the first year. It's the first year Nick Hewer isn't in it. They've replaced him with Claude Littner, who is that mean one that does the interviews at the end.
Yeah, but we already discussed
you
this.
You mean
before.
The really mean one? Like, none of them are like the hugs and fun guy.
Yeah, I mean, we already discussed this. Nick Hewer has gone on to present. He's gone on to look at Rachel Riley.
Can
who's
you blame
a lot more attractive
him?
Than Alan Sugar, which may be why Alan Sugar feels the need to have a cake.
I don't know. If you put, like, you know, icing sugar on Alan Sugar, he does look pretty pretty delectable.
yeah, but did anybody watch it this week?
I did.
Mm. It was on Tuesday and Wednesday.
See, I've watched the first episode
Wednesday and Thursday,
I think so. I might have to have a rant in a bit.
Wednesday and Thursday. The first episode, I'll go into the first. It was selling fish fingers. And
was this the episode where they went around the fish market right at the beginning?
And he bought the fish straight away.
Yeah.
He bought the very, very cheap, I forgot what it was called.
They bought like calamari dirt cheap and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it went off.
Calamari fingers?
It was squid. Squid.
No, they're that and fish fingers, and they were selling them for £9.
I was going to say calamari fingers. That might be the most middle-class thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, it was anyway. Their store was fish fingers and calamari.
But anyway, the one that was fired was Dan. And it says in my very expert sources on my laptop, he was sacked, fired, whatever you want to call it, for his poor work in the kitchen, selling nothing, poorly defending himself in the boardroom, and for failing to display any appealing business skills.
Here's a question. How can they be fired when they haven't actually been hired?
I've always
literally just destroyed the entire show.
I have always wondered this. Yeah. You know, it has always been important.
Don't even
for
a job, though. Not the best bit.
No, it's not.
Yeah, they don't get a job at the end of it either.
It used to be, but then...
What is it? Like it's not apprenticeship or money or what? What
it's a £250,000 investment for Marlin Sugar.
That's not so bad.
For like their business idea.
£250,000 for their business.
So basically, we had a weekend at the university months ago. It's basically like a televised version of that with Alan Sugar.
And 250,000.
With, yeah.
Pounds.
Do you know the sad
and
thing?
And a collection of the worst human beings on the planet.
But, no, there were two.
It's
no,
funny, seriously. Because all but one of them go home disappointed.
Do you know what the sad thing is, right? Their challenge, the one making fish and chips, stuff like that, right? You can tell the difference in levels of experience when you deal with that sort of challenge. Because I could have done that with my eyes closed. I hate to say it, but when you get to a certain point and you've done loads of different jobs, you pick up all sorts of experience. And for these sorts of shows, I think they need to start looking at people who've got a variety of experience.
The losing team did make a profit of £1.87.
Oh, wow.
It was the lowest profit that they've made. And Alan Sugar did say it was only a little bit better than a loss. Well, yes.
Some money is better than no money. I will say that. Cakey sugar.
Yes.
And the second episode was Cactus Shampoo.
Yeah, I heard about this. Is this the one that you're going to get ranty about?
I was going to get ranty about the first episode.
Oh, okay. Rant away.
Okay, so I watched that first episode, and you know what? I hated it. I think I'm sick of The Apprentice.
Oh, yes, you went on a rant on Facebook.
Yeah, because I was watching it. It's just like, these people are completely interchangeable with like every contestant who have been on in every single year.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this task is like exactly the same as every other task.
It is, but it's still funny.
It's reached that point.
I think the problem also is I've kind of looked into a bit in like how reality TV shows are made, and now I can watch it and go like, oh, okay, I see. They're now cutting to this person to imply that they have some sort of feud with that other person, even though they really don't.
Yeah.
Well, they do it on purpose.
It's kind of like after the first season of Big Brother, or the second season, it became a formula, and it's pretty much interchangeable
it's
people.
It's cookie-cutter TV.
Mm. And The Apprentice has now hit that point.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole point of it, though, for me, I mean, it is you get people that are very, like, quite wealthy. They're not on the breadline. They're not...
frightfully
and
middle class.
Seriously, though, see them humiliated.
I'll be honest. Seriously, if you were going to do The Apprentice, then do it bloody well properly. You know,
I get 16 and 17 year olds.
Yeah, get 16 and 17 year olds.
They tried it, didn't they? They did Junior Apprentice.
Yeah, the Junior Apprentice was actually better than The Apprentice.
Well, no, I mean that's basically like what the first series of The Apprentice was as well. Was like actual business people like properly competing for this thing.
I did watch that first one. Yeah. It was good back then. Yeah,
yeah,
and then it just kind of became very interchangeable and we were just casting the most annoying people.
Because annoying people mean ratings. Oh, we must hate this person. Oh,
and you
we
do
love
get
this
thing much annoying. Home crying,
but ego, like they cast big egos, so it could sell on the back of those
I feel like now, like even some of the ego is like manufactured. It's like, it's that point at the start, you know, when they're going through, they're like, oh, I'm the best, I can sell ice to the Eskimos or whatever. It feels so forced now, like they're just reading from a script. Like, I'm pretty sure they deliberately have to sit down before they go on and like just write something completely obnoxious that they have to say.
But it always the upper class people that get it usually. But how cruel would it be for Alan Sugar?
How do you mean?
If they were like on the borderline and they had nothing and they come for this show, and it was the only hope that they had. And then at the end of every episode, you were all bad, you're all fired.
They should go to this class to do particularly effective puppy dog eyes. So he's about to say you're fired. Though,
if they're that desperate for investment, right? If they're that desperate to have £250,000 of investment in their company.
Well, it's public attention as well. You get public attention on your idea and on you.
Actually, go for people who actually really want it. You know, don't go for people who have these manufactured egos and stuff like that. Actually, go for people who really want it, who have the drive and the ambition. Because most of the people that they have on The Apprentice, when I see them in action on The Apprentice, I really question their ability to run a business, because most of them, in fact, some of them I question their ability to breathe and talk at the same time, and some of them I question their ability to, absorb the friction from dragging their knuckles on the floor repeatedly. But most of them really shouldn't be running a business. They should be in a soft padded cell with really long sleeves that allow them to hug themselves.
That's what should happen when he fires them.
That or a mobile phone salesman.
That or a mobile phone salesman.
About the same level.
Yes.
Well, anyway, there are a lot of them who actually, if you put them in a mobile phone shop, they wouldn't be able to sell a mobile phone at all.
Well, the one who got fired on Wednesday admitted he couldn't sell anything. He couldn't do anything, that's why he fired him.
But the thing is, they wouldn't even be able to sell pies at a football match.
You basically just need to say pie to sell pie at a football match.
My point exactly. It doesn't matter how bad the pie is, it's still going to sell at a football match.
You probably don't even need to say it, you need to show up with the pies, and eventually someone will see them and just yell out, pie.
Yeah.
And they'll all just run to him and go, pie? Just I'll jump on him.
Just a scrum in front of you, and then somebody...
A massive pie with Alan Sugar, just...
Full circle, Andy.
Anyway, on to Rob.
Yes, it's a bit of an older TV show, but it's Flashpoint. It's a Canadian TV show about something that's kind of underrepresented on police procedurals. The SWAT team.
Yes.
The SWAT team is usually only employed when things get real bad.
Do they call them SWAT in Canada?
In Canada? Where's Canadian?
Yeah, I was trying to see if he'd notice.
Why is Canada?
Canada, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, in Canada. As the setup suggests, it's got a bit of stuff which gets really bad. But yeah. It's got a very episodic conceit where it's a group of people who are a constant SWAT team, but they have like a different scenario every week. It's issue of the week things. But it's the presentation which is a little bit odd. It'll have like a setup where the SWAT are all set up doing their business.
Yeah.
And then it'll stop and go, like a little rewind thing. And then it'll do the whole thing throughout the entirety. And the situations basically come down to, a number of preset things.
Yeah.
There's been some good ones, some bad ones. It's usually like today's was an ex-security guard who was fired brutally, getting revenge on his former employers. Another one was a woman who has a really thin grasp on reality, threatening her sister's husband. It's just stuff like this. It's not particularly taxing. It does have these occasions where it's really well done, and it has some insight into the sort of... Well, the one example I want to come across is when something goes wrong. I mean, it's the SWAT team. It's very high-intensity stuff. If you are at the very bleeding edge of... Not, I wouldn't say bleeding edge, but you're like a knife edge. If you make the... You've got like blink and you miss it opportunity to decide what to do in this situation. One episode does that well, where they take a hit on somebody who probably could have been talked down if only they had like an interpreter.
Yeah.
Interpreter.
See? It worked.
But... that sort of stuff is particularly sort of, it's emotionally sort of challenging, but most of the time it's just, bad stuff is bad, and we're going to shoot it now. Let's talk it down. If we can't shoot it down, let's shoot it.
I thought this was a Canadian TV series, yeah. Not an American one.
But it had a potential to be. It's I think the problem with it, it's like back from 2008. It didn't particularly have a long run. It was cancelled pretty early, but it was cancelled before I had the opportunity to sort of do something clever.
I see. Yeah.
Because the SWAT idea is people, like there's ex-military types. It has this potential to sort of depict the sort of people who gravitate towards that nature of work. People who grab it. It's back, basically like a degree separated from like the bomb disposal squad.
I think one,
like sort of that extreme pressure, high pressure situation, and what people become when they're like that. It kind of didn't really help for that and just kind of dropped it for, I don't know, sort of CSI, let's solve this issue and then move on to the next issue, shenanigans.
I've seen a couple of episodes of Flashpoint. One of the episodes that I watched, I actually liked the...
It has a good episode, I won't lie, but it just wastes potential.
No, one of the episodes, I just wanted to bring to light one aspect that I found quite interesting about the series was the way they approach... The actual SWAT team itself is very different to what I've seen in, say, the American ones, because they're a lot more regulated. There are a lot more questions that they have to answer when something happens. And in this one, guy had taken some hostages. The SWAT team were called in. The guy is killed by the SWAT team, and the person who pulled the trigger, they basically tell him to put the gun down, you know, step away from the gun, everything like that. And then he has to go through a barrage of questioning from the oversight committees, from the police, to basically explain the reason why he killed the hostage taker.
That sort of stuff is too rare, though.
That's what I'm saying. I found that aspect of it really interesting, the fact that that was actually a part of the TV show.
That's what I'd like to see more of.
Yeah, it would have been a lot more interesting, because it just kind of highlights the fact that there's a lot of regulations that are around, you know, having a team like that, a fully armed team. I mean, I know that armed police have to answer all sorts of questions in the UK, but in America, where everyone carries a gun, it's just kind of, yeah.
I mean, I've also a similar... programming in a sense as a police procedural is Law and Order Special Victims Unit, which has a very
kind of, but that's Ice-T
episode of the week sort of quality, but it still manages to be sort of, like talk about the really sort of heavy ethical implications of being a police officer.
Isn't that the one with Ice-T?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but it's very good. It's just issue of the week. If it shows you can be sort of issue of the week and have some sort of depth to it at the same time.
Special Victims Unit is the one with Ice-T, but it's also got kind of less insect crazy Gil Grissom in there as well.
I don't know who.
Isn't
you mean
he the kind of chunky fellow with the dark hair who seems quite philosophical? Is he the
That's
one?
Such a vague description of a person.
No, he does a lot of the interviewing of witnesses and stuff like that. I can't remember.
They have a lot of sort of crossover with the lawyer angle on there.
Possibly, I might be getting.
Which is another way. It gets sort of behind the how all this stuff works, which is what I particularly like.
I might
like
be getting confused
stuff.
With the different.
There's a lot
police
of law and order.
Police procedural or Law and Order, whatever.
It's by a guy called Dick Wolf, so I'm getting that reference in there. Not swearing at a reference.
Yes, we're not swearing
it's
at a reference.
It's his name. It's Richard Wolf, is his name.
Yes. So, moving on from Dick Wolf to The Flash. Yes, The Flash has returned, and I am fully up to date with The Flash. I basically marathoned the last half of this first season in preparation for the second season, and I have to say, to nick a phrase of Ryan's, well, that escalated.
Yes, the end of Flash Series 1 does get a bit crazy town banana pants.
Yes, it ends with, if you haven't seen the first season, close your ears now, because I'm going to spoil it. Not majorly, I'm just going to tell you one thing. Flash races a black hole. That's right, you heard me. Flash races against a black hole.
Is this like that video game Fahrenheit where you have the fight with the internet running along the side of the building?
Kind of, yes. Thing is, I like the effects work that they've done in the TV series. You know, I like the effects work.
I like most of the effects work.
I like the way the story played out in the first series as well. And I like the inference with the metal helm. With that metal helmet coming through.
Yes, that Jay Garrick is going to show up.
Yeah, and the fact that they introduced him in the very first episode of the second season. I have seen the second episode as well, and I like the way that they're using Jay Garrick, in that he is taking on the role of Wells, being the mentor of Barry Allen.
Yes, since Wells is no longer around.
Not true.
Ish.
Ish, yes. Have you seen the second episode?
I haven't, but I have kind of heard rumours about how he's coming back.
Yes, I'm not gonna go into it. Watch the first couple of episodes of season two of The Flash, because the first thing is, I liked the repercussions. The first episode deals with the repercussions of what happened at the end of the first season. The fact that there was a black hole above Central City and Flash raced to stop it. And they want to give Flash the key to the city, but Flash keeps saying he's not the man who saved the city. And then it basically shows you what actually happened, and I'm not going to explain that either, because that would be a spoiler territory.
Did he save the city from rock and roll?
From a black hole.
Oh.
Well, no, because that would have undermined the entire foundations of the city, Rob.
Oh, and I thought you knew the city was built on rock and roll.
Yeah, but you need to save it as well.
No, you can't save the city from rock and roll. It was built on rock and roll. It doesn't need saving from rock and roll.
I had one reference and I bottled it. Oh, well.
So, yes. So Flash saves the city, you know, but there are still metahumans out there, and they're starting to crawl out the woodwork now. So, yeah. I'm very interested in seeing how this develops. And so, yes, looking forward to more Flash.
Yeah, actually, I think one thing I really liked about the first episode of this series I saw, and it's something I'm going to have to kind of dance around a bit spoiler-wise, is kind of the lack of sort of manufactured drama.
Yes, was actually really well done, the way they had... I mean, with it dealing with the repercussions of, 6 months later, and it's dealing with the repercussions of what happened, and...
Yeah, and, like, there are certain characters who you think might be a bit, oh, The Flash, this thing happened, and I'm going to blame you for it, even though it wasn't really your fault.
But none of the characters were
that. Yeah, they can actually think rationally and be like, you know what, the thing that happened to this character was something they chose to do.
Yeah.
So it's not your fault.
Not only that, I mean, the thing that they were up against, it's a black hole.
Yeah.
It's
literally a black hole.
Yeah, literally a black hole. It's something so massive that you can't even comprehend it. And so blaming one person for not being able to do something in that sort of situation is kind of petty. To be honest, I mean, I'm really glad that they didn't try to overplay the drama.
Yeah, because I feel like there's a lot of shows that, kind of similar shows that in the past have done stuff like that.
Yes.
Yes. Something like Arrow tends to do from time to time.
Yes. I blame Smallville.
Yes. Basically everything is Smallville's fault.
Yes.
Conservatives getting in. Smallville's fault.
Yeah. No. Everything eventually becomes the government's fault, even Smallville. Anyway, yes, so Flash Season 2, I'm going to be continuing my superhero catch-up with Gotham, because I've heard very good things that are happening in Gotham Season 2. So I am...
Well, in which case you've heard lies.
Really?
Very divisive season.
Yeah, from what I've heard, basically I've watched a bit of Gotham, hated it, and from what I've heard it hasn't got any better.
I've heard the start of Season 2 has really picked up with the possibility of an origin for... one particular Batman character.
See, that's interesting, because I've heard really negative things about it.
I heard completely different, and to be honest, I didn't mind Gotham that much.
Skew-whiffing the timeline up with Batman a bit, isn't it?
It is, and it isn't.
Because Batman kind of instigates the arrival of a lot of these villains, but it's just kind of getting the jump on it and saying, yeah, these are all things before Batman becomes...
But obviously, you can't really make them things, so it's just kind of like... Selina Kyle will show up and be like, hi, I'm going to be Catwoman someday, but not today. Okay, bye.
That frustrates me a little
bit. The thing is, the Penguin was a villain before Batman didn't create the Penguin.
It's like the Corleones and the gangsters and Penguin are kind of the only ones who Batman didn't have a big finger in creating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, as somebody who wanted to watch...
Batman didn't create Black Mask either, did he?
That'd be made him worse.
Yeah, plus... The important point is Batman is also the person who stopped these people.
Yes.
It's like literally nothing can happen to these characters because Batman isn't there yet.
Yep.
That's like literally the only thing that series can lead to is Batman being a thing.
Yeah.
Which is why they had to introduce new characters like Fish Mooney. Fish Mooney's not a canon character. Fish Mooney has been introduced as a totally new character.
Yeah, but I feel like the problem is it's trying to have its cake and eat it too a bit.
It is, and it does come out in quite a few episodes that that's the attitude, but I've heard that season two has adopted a very different approach, so to speak, a very different stance on it. What I've heard from some of the guys I know who've watched season two so far, they basically said that the approach they're taking now is basically they've done kind of the exposition, stuff like that, setting the scene in the first season. Now they're just basically heading off into their own territory and basically saying, okay, we've done that. Now we're going off in this direction.
Well, we'll let you watch that and kind of come back to us on it.
Yes, I will. Anyway, moving on to...
Yes, me again. Because I've also been watching The Walking Dead.
And has it improved?
It has, actually. Because, like, especially in the last series, I was getting really sick of it, to be honest.
I gave up that season, so I agree.
The beginning of this one, it dragged the episode. It just...
So it's The Walking Dead, not Fear the Walking Dead, that you're watching?
Yeah. The main The Walking Dead series. Yeah. It's like, so anyway, last series, it kind of got... It just got, like... ridiculously grim and pointless, where it's just like it's all these characters like basically just walking about the place waiting to die.
That's where The Walking Dead comes from.
Thank you, Andy.
Yes, thanks. That's helpful. But yeah, basically, that seems like without any real purpose, it was kind of hard to root for any of the characters. But then at the end, they came across a new little settlement that they've kind of become a part of, and now they're fighting to defend that. It's like suddenly it's a lot more interesting because like they'll actually go out and they actually have a point to what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I went off The Walking Dead a little bit was because it just seemed like nobody had any purpose. And as you said, they were all just wandering around waiting to die.
All the interesting characters have kind of been boycotted, really. When I boycotted, sort of offed.
Well, it's not just that.
It's season five. So
it's not just
that. Is there any new sort of characters that...
I think it's probably a bit early to tell because like it's only been the first episode.
There's been a lot of people who say it's confusing, though. There has been that that's been circulating around. People have been confused by it.
I think that's... I want to be nice, but no, it's dumb people. Because basically the first episode, it has a lot of flashbacks in it. Because basically the main plot of the episode is basically they find like an enormous herd of zombies, like literally hundreds of them, basically in a pit. It's like being blocked off by trucks, but they're starting to get past the trucks. So they basically decide, okay, we have to lure them out. Because basically, they know zombies have like this herd mentality. So kind of if you can point them in a direction, they'll just start walking in that direction until they're gone. But also it flashes back to the end of series five, like immediately after that, and kind of shows the aftermath of that.
Black and white, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, the flashbacks are in black and white. I don't know how they could have made that clearer.
It's in a weird position, though, The Walking Dead. I mean, how much longer can it really go?
Yeah.
It needs to inject something.
They've said they got another 10 years worth, I can't
remember. No, they said that we were going to run for 10 years, didn't they?
Yeah, which I think is a horrible idea. What they really need is an end point.
Yes.
Because, like, that's what, like, makes stuff like Breaking Bad work so well, is it's constantly, like... It's fixed on that one point of, okay, this is where we need to get to, and everything is building to that.
Closure is nice with anything, especially this is could just perpetually go on forever as an idea. Just passing it on to like a new generation of survivors.
I don't like those sorts of stories where it's just an endless ongoing thing. I think, remember I've said that I don't really like Minecraft. I think that's the main reason why it's just an endless ongoing thing and there's no point to it. I mean, if there's no ending to it, then... What exactly is the point?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why you get stuff like Series 5, where like you're sitting there just thinking, you know what, even if these people like find a new home, that's going to get over them zombies and they're going to have to like start walking again.
Yeah.
Can't just make another series where they just live normally.
That wouldn't really be The Walking Dead then.
No, but I mean, you can still like make a series where like they actually start trying to rebuild society.
Yeah.
And I think that would make the show a lot more interesting.
Oh,
and
the closest.
It has already.
The closest they ever got was Woodbury, but then Rick happened and kind of balls.
Oh, no, they've got some.
Well, the governor was kind of crazy as well, but yeah, still, but that was the closest to where that thing happened.
Now. Here's the thing, when people actually have something to lose, when they actually have a reason to fight, they tend to have a lot more personality. They tend to be better as characters.
And because there was something... an amazing antagonist.
Yeah, there's really something outside of themselves that they could, that basically adds, you know, adds dimension to them as characters, because it's how they fit into that place, and they basically become a part of that place with this new place that they've found to call home. You know, defending that is going to make us look at the characters in a different way. It's a natural thing to happen. Well, but when it's just them going, oh, doom, gloom, death, despair, kind of, oh...
There's been a lot of the character development, though. I mean, Rick Grimes has changed catastrophically from the whole thing. And he's really, like, Andrew English has really sort of emerged as a...
Andrew Lincoln, you mean? But he is English.
Andrew Clutterbuck.
Hey?
Andrew Lincoln's his acting name. It's Andrew Clutterbuck, is his proper name.
Andrew what?
Clutterbuck.
Clutterbuck.
That's not his real name.
It is.
That's not anyone's name.
You're just making stuff up.
Andrew Lincoln is his acting name.
Have you had too much of the Alan Sugar cake?
Next year he's saying Engelbert Humperdinck's his real name. I don't buy you whatsoever. But it is an interesting position, you know. Because it says it's going to run for 10 seasons. That's a good level 4, yeah.
Yes.
And how it's, because it breaks like mid-season, doesn't it? And
yeah.
Divvies itself up like that. His name is Clutterbuck. His name is Andrew Clutterbuck, which might be the most white trash name I've ever heard.
If you watch the behind the scenes, if you've got the DVD, his real accent is like English as you
could. He has a very posh voice.
He used to be on Teachers, which was a great TV show.
Does he drink his tea like that? Or his pints like that?
He was on Teachers. That's when I first came into awareness of him. And he's very, very good.
Yeah, I noticed. I think I've been hypnotized by somebody who's posh because I found myself drinking a can of Coke like that.
Yeah, he's holding his finger out, like his little pinky finger out while he does that. So it's a very good visual gag he's telling there on an audio only.
Yes, thing. I know. I was showing you guys. Anyway,
Are you optimistic for the future of? Is it a good sort of opener?
Yeah. I'm definitely optimistic for this series, but I worry if it's just going to keep going.
You know they're going to DC, though, if you saw the last episode of the fifth season.
Well, that's the goal, isn't it,
to get the piece of paper.
No, they're not.
They will do.
I thought you said you've caught up.
I have.
You mean eventually they'll probably go to DC.
And then there'll be nothing there because it's a Bleak-O series. Bleak-O, Bleak-O.
Why would you want to go to a city?
There's some scientific knowledge that one of the people know, to resolve that they need to take it to DC, where potentially what government there is would be able to do something about it. Then
should we break it to him?
I think we should. Basically the whole scientific knowledge thing turned out to be nonsense.
I suspected that. The guy did look kind of shady.
I mean, the man's name is Eugene, and he has a mullet. Yeah. Of course, he's not a scientist. I like his logic. Like, sure, he's not smart enough to be a scientist, but he is smart enough to lie about being a scientist.
Certainly, yeah.
So, yes. Anyway, yes, I think we are at the end of the show, though.
Yes, I think we might be.
Yes, we've overrun a little bit, but that's perfectly fine. And, yes, we will see you all next week. We have been on The Box. You can find us on Mixcloud. Just look for The Geek Show. And we'll soon be on iTunes and Stitcher as well. And if you want to get in touch with us or suggest any TV shows for us to watch, then send us an email, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk, or get in touch with us on Facebook or Twitter. Just look for The Geek Show. We are everywhere. We're on Facebook, Twitter, MyAnimeList, Steam, and various other things. I have been Rob.
I've been Andrew.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Rob as well, but Owen was here earlier too.
Yeah, Owen was here earlier too. But now it is Rob, Andy.
Yes, we've got two names between us.
Yes. We'll see you all next week. Take care and have fun.